The scripture reading for our meditation today is some of the words of Psalm 51. Before reading that, we hear this introduction to this psalm in the scriptures. To the chief musician, a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone in to Bathsheba. Please join me then in the responsive reading of our text. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Young David is one of those great figures that we find in the Old Testament who rises to be king. If you remember, he was a shepherd boy, the youngest in his family. When the prophet Samuel came to select the next king of Israel because of Saul's falling away from God. Samuel went through all of the brothers, and the Lord kept saying to him, it's none of these, and finally comes to this youngest one and selects him to be the next king of Israel. That famous line that the man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. God spotted something in this young teenage boy that he thought would be a great leader for his people. And he is then elevated to king, even though the prior king Saul tries to pursue him and kill him. But he's elevated to king. And God, he goes on to be used by God to write many of the beautiful psalms that we use, for instance, the one in front of us. And so often we see David as a man of tremendous integrity, a man of a pious faith. He waits until God takes the time to put him in office as king, even though Saul was trying to kill him and pursue him. Nevertheless, he shows respect to the office of the king. And even once he becomes king, we have the story just a few chapters ahead of the story with Bathsheba. We have the story where David shows such kindness and mercy and compassion to Mephibosheth, the crippled son of Saul, and allows him to come and eat at his table and so on, and treats him with such kindness and compassion. So here we have this very interesting character of David, someone who could have such tremendous integrity about his faith, someone who is obviously very devoted to the Lord, and yet, we know the story that produces this psalm, how deeply David goes and falls. Falls, first of all, into voyeurism, going out and looking at a naked woman on another balcony. It's a peeping Tom, is what we used to call this when I was young. Today, the way that we are most invited to do that would be through our computers, voyeurism. To look at other people and their nakedness. He then takes this other man's wife and invites her up to his palace. He uses his wealth and the lavish life that he has there and his authority as king to probably lure her to the bedroom. He's a predator. He's a predator. The kind of things that people get taken to court for nowadays. He then tries to cover up and lie about his sin. Cover up the pregnancy that he causes. And so he has her husband intentionally put in the front of battle where it's for sure that he will be killed, and he is. He abuses his power as the king, becomes a murderer, God holds him personally responsible for killing Uriah, Bathsheba's husband. And apparently through this whole time period, after that, after these sins that just multiply like a snowball going down a mountainside, picking up more and more evil, apparently through all of this, he has no qualms of conscience. He probably was worshiping during that time. He would probably sit in an assembly like this and hear God's word. He probably sang some of the psalms that he himself had penned and acted so piously outward, and yet inside was just this rot, just this horrible, wicked iniquity and evil stirring inside of him, and he didn't want to deal with it. He callously just let himself go on in his sin and pretended as though everything was right. David practiced what I guess I would call selective integrity. There's certain times when we can be very selective about the commandments that we can observe really well. Have you ever noticed that about yourself? There's some commandments that, boy, you can be tight about them and you can really make sure to observe those so well. And then there are other ones that you could almost care less about. In fact, our conscience can get so callous about it, we don't even be troubled in our hearts by that sin anymore. I know what this is like. Selective integrity. It's something that's very easy for us to slide into regarding our spiritual lives. David, finally, through the work of the prophet Nathan, is confronted with this evil inside of him and all the things that he has done to break God's commands. And as he's reflecting on this and is penitent and now a stage of repentance about just how bad he has fallen, he begins to meditate through the work of the Holy Spirit, meditate upon the source of all of this inside of himself. Where in the world has all of this come from? Sometimes we can rightly think about our sins as just things we do with our mouths and hands and so on. But it's also important for us to acknowledge that there is a source, there is a well, there is a fountain that is just down inside of our rotting hearts that produces all of the stuff that comes out of us that we call actual sins. And that's really what David is dealing with here. He's acknowledging this root in himself, this rottenness that just goes deep inside of him. He says, I was brought forth in iniquity. I came into this world. Evil is what he's saying. And in sin, in other words, in a condition of sin, my mother conceived me. He's not talking about her sin. He means the condition on his heart when he's born into this world, even at his conception, that this has been passed on to him. And David is finally acknowledging the great line we know in the book of Hebrews. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And that's still true for me and you today. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. So the only thing he can do is appeal to God on the basis of God's mercy, God's kindness and compassion. There's no other way of getting out of this. There's no other way of coming before God. He doesn't have anything to barter with. He has no way to try to change anything between himself and God. And he knows that God can peer deep inside, as he says, to the inner parts of a person. And David is here actually approaching God on the basis of nothing more than the future work of God's own son, his Savior, Jesus Christ, one of his very ancestors, one of his very descendants. And it's Christ alone that suddenly comes into our text that changes the whole course of events. Really, it's the cross here that we have in front of us, even though that wouldn't happen for about 1,000 years. And by his death on that cross, our Lord Jesus Christ has changed the heart of God toward wicked people like you and me, who can look right down inside of us and see all the wickedness we hide from everybody else. Now, isn't this comforting to think of it this way, that God has seen and known David at his absolute worst? He knows every detail in his thought, words, and actions throughout this whole process. He sees the rot inside of him, just like he sees the rot inside of me and in you. But he still loves him. He still cares about him. He still wants to have a good relationship with him. He still wants David to know that he is his child and that he will come to heaven someday. And so God graciously sends his prophet Nathan to go and confront David in his sin and his wickedness, and he doesn't hold back. He points it out blatantly to him, and through that prophet Nathan's work, he finally gets David to acknowledge his guilt. And that's really what the ministry is about for all of us, is first of all to get us to acknowledge our condition, to realize the rot that's inside of us. But then, to hear the precious truth of the gospel. This text is so full of gospel. As we read through it again, take it out in front of you, and I'm just going to highlight some of the lines. And what I would like you to understand is how visual God is when it comes to explaining his grace and the benefits that we have before him because of his son and what he's done for us. First of all, blot out my transgressions. Just take my sins and blot them out the way you would a stain on something. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, thoroughly, through and through, every part. Cleanse me from my sin. Purge me with hyssop. Hyssop was a plant that people would often use and tie together the stems of it to sweep out their house and clean out a whole area. Purge me with hyssop. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Is that possible for us to see something whiter than snow? To think of that the holiness that God now gives us through faith in Christ makes us whiter than snow in God's eyes. Even though we know we're not personally, but because of Christ, we are just covered by that holiness of our Lord Jesus. Make me to hear joy and gladness. And I love this line, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. That's talking about what the lock sometimes does to it, crushes us. And maybe right now, there's stuff in your life you're thinking, man, God knows that about me, and you feel crushed by his law. It's as if the bones deep inside of you have been crushed. But notice that the bones you have broken may rejoice. They have been repaired and now actually can respond to God with nothing but happiness and joy in the gospel. He says, hide your face from my sins. He's calling on God to turn away from looking at him in all of his evil and blot out all my iniquities. Think of all the beautiful phrases and all the different visual ways that God tries to show and demonstrate his grace and mercy and kindness toward us. What an amazingly gracious God we have. He knows the deepest, worst part of us, and he still wants to love us. He still wants us to have a relationship with him, and he still wants us to come with heaven to heaven. That's why he baptized you. That's why he continues to put his word in your heart. That's why he works repentance in our hearts. That's why he puts inside of us a cherishing and appreciation of the gospel of what our Lord Jesus has done for us. Praise be to God. Amen. Please rise for our prayer, and we will continue to use words from this psalm as our prayer today. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Amen. And now may the triune God of your baptism, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Go in his peace. Amen.